First, though, wave energy is one of the great renewable energy hopes, creating electricity through the power of the ocean. And here in Australia, we have some of the world's best wave energy resources, with the Southern Ocean surging against the coastline of WA, South Australia, Tasmania and Victoria. Construction of a major wave energy project is about to begin in Western Australia at our largest naval base, HMAS Stirling. The technology behind the Perth Wave Energy Project has been developed over the past 10 years and promises to make Australia a global leader in wave energy. Tim Sawyer is the Project Development Officer for Carnegie Wave Energy. He joins you from his home in Fremantle bright and early this morning. Tim, good morning. Welcome to breakfast.
Good morning, very many thanks.
Wave energy, Tim, how does it work? How do we convert the waves of the swell, or the energy of the swell, into electricity?
You describe it right. We're converting ocean waves, the same waves you would surf or swim, into useful energy on shore to generate electricity and potentially desalinated water as well. The CETO technology that Carnegie Wave Energy Limited is developing is essentially a submerged system that uses a series of underwater buoys connected to seabed-mounted piston pumps. As those buoys move up and down, they bob up and down, if you like, under the water with each passing wave. Those buoys pull on a tether which pulls a piston pump out, pressurizing freshwater-based fluid and pushing it to shore. We then use that high-pressure fluid to drive a hydroelectric turbine and produce renewable electricity from a massive, abundant renewable resource that's completely untapped.
So most of the action is happening there under the water, most of the equipment?
Underwater and out of sight.
Underwater and out of sight, and what does it mean? You effectively fence off a massive part of the ocean bed for this, or how does that work?
Quite small areas. It's sort of 100 metres by 100 metres is around about a megawatt or more. As the technology develops, that'll increase. So we're talking really a postage stamp of an area of seabed, and we tend to locate those well away from other competing sources, fisheries, recreational activities, etc.
For this project, the one we're talking about alongside providing the power to HMAS Stirling, how many megawatts, how many 100 metres square postage stamps?
The project, Perth Wave Energy Project, is located just off Garden Island in Western Australia, and will provide up to a megawatt of power, and additionally we'll also provide desalinated water as well to the base, directly from wave energy. It'll occupy an area just over 200 metres by 200 metres, which includes a maritime safety buffer as well, which is just to separate vessels from the wave energy units themselves.
And that would provide how much power for the Navy? Enough for them to run all their operations at Stirling?
No, it's a proportion, about 20% of their power at HMAS Stirling. And it's a demonstration project of a new technology. It also involves the development of that technology as well. It's the first time we'll put those units, multiple units off in an array, put the whole system together and actually put electrons on the grid and produce desalinated water as well, which makes it a world first.
And HMAS Stirling and the Navy, why are they so interested in this? Does this reflect broader interest from Australian Department of Defence?
It does reflect a broader interest, not only from the Australian Department of Defence, but also other defence forces as well. In other countries, yes. We recently had the head of the US Defence Force, General Dempsey, through our premises in Fremantle. Him and the Australian Defence Force are interested in energy security, new sources of energy, and also providing energy to remote locations where it's very, very expensive to import diesel-based fuels, but where they have a huge wave resource readily abundant on their shoreline.
Tim, how does this technology, this renewable energy, fit in alongside or compare with, for instance, solar energy? Australia's one of the world's solar capitals. We've now got panels on more than a million homes. How does the potential of wave energy and the efficiency of it and effectiveness of it compare?
They compare rather well. Basically, wave energy is a concentrated solar resource. The sun is driving the wind is driving the waves. So they're concentrating in the wave energy space. We are very predictable, 3-4 days in advance. We're also very consistent through the whole day, 24 hours a day, there's waves rolling through. So we don't suffer the same issues around day-night in terms of solar. It forms really part of a broader mix of renewable energy, particularly in Australia, that has a massive, abundant renewable energy resource. Across a number of forms of energy.
So the 24-hour thing, does that mean that the storage issues that solar has, for instance, or wind has, aren't there in terms of, you know, being reliable to feed into baseload power?
It basically means we're consistently able to generate electricity 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're able to predict it very effectively 3-4 days in advance, which means there's less issues on the grid as well. And we can also add the water, desalinated water element, which if we're not producing electricity for one reason or another, we can switch to desalinated water, which in Australia, in particular in Western Australia, is a very valuable commodity as well.
Yeah, that dual function, the desalination as well as the power generation, is that something that's related to Carnegie Wave Energy's technology? Is that something that sets you apart from other wave energy suppliers?
It is. By pumping fluid ashore and doing the energy conversion onshore, it allows us to do not only the electricity side of things, which is well supported, but also the desalination, which is a very different way of doing things and sets us apart as a technology.
It's 12 past 8 on Breakfast. Our guest this morning is Tim Sawyer, who's Project Development Officer for Carnegie Wave Energy, who are just about to begin developing Australia's first commercial-scale grid connected wave energy project at HMA Stirling in WA. Tim, this is a $31 million project, and there's plenty of government money in it. I think more than half of it comes from federal and state governments together. If this is a commercial scale project and if this technology is so reliable, why do you need such a big pot of public subsidy?
We're not only proving the commercial project, we're also developing the technology, and establishing a new technology is very capital intensive. The government funding helps de-risk the project to a point to allow other private investors to come in. As you say, it's just over 50% funded, this particular project, but Carnegie as a whole has spent over $60 million to date developing the technology, which primarily comes from its shareholders. We're a public listed company in Australia. Only $10 million of that is from government, so the proportions change quite a lot. A completion of the project would have spent more like $70 million, of which about $20 million from the public. So for every dollar the government's putting in, we're bringing in $3 of private investment.
How critical is that sort of government subsidy, as you say in your words, to help de-risk the project for investors? Because the Gillard government, as part of its clean energy bill, has set up the $10 billion Clean Energy Finance Corporation, which starts giving out money and grants or subsidies in July, from July 1, I think. The coalition has pledged to abolish that. What do you think of the notion of the Clean Energy Finance Corporation, and how necessary is something like that for these technologies?
Government funding for emerging new technologies is critical because they're capital intensive. If we also secure that external investment until the technology matures and the economy of scale can be reached. The Australian government has supported Carnegie and the Perth Wave Energy Project and indeed other renewables to date. I think what they need is ongoing support. It needs to be clear and consistent policy to continue that continued investment. The Clean Energy Council reports a record amount of renewables in 2012 that's growing. It's starting to make a real difference, but investment is showing signs of falling as investors sort of lose confidence in that policy being stable and having the confidence to invest in Australia.
So what would your advice be to the coalition in terms of the Clean Energy Finance Corporation?
My advice to the federal government would be to continue to support clean energy and emerging renewables. We will continue, regardless with the funding we have, to develop the Perth Wave Energy Project, to prove it, to construct it this year, and to move on to commercial projects next year.
Tim Sawyer, thanks very much for joining us on Breakfast.
Many thanks, Fran. Many thanks for your time.
Tim Sawyer is Project Development Officer for Carnegie Wave Energy, and they're developing Australia's first commercial-scale grid-connected wave energy project at HMA Stirling in WA. And this whole notion of renewable energies is the focus of a couple of protests in Canberra today. As we get to the business end of this Parliament today in Canberra, there'll be duelling rallies, one outside Parliament House organised by the anti-wind farm group Stop These Things, and the other, Rally for Renewables, is in Canberra's Civic Centre, featuring Labor, Green and Independent federal MPs, local government representatives, farmers and members of the pro-wind farm advocates. So we've got duelling renewable energy protest rallies in Canberra today. It's 8:15 on Breakfast.